Our word from the Bible today comes in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It's with much pleasure that I get to introduce my friend, and you have become a good friend of mine, COVID-19. Kovas, a real good friend. And God has blessed Canada with our friend from South Africa. You have diligently served in the Presbyterian Church in Canada, so you know what I'm going to go about to suffer, so you can tell them after. So, yes, that's correct. It's not personal. I will be leaving because I have to, but I would rather be here, I promise you. You work now as the minister, or is it the pastor?
Like chaplain.
Chaplain at Kelowna Mission. So what a blessing you have been. So I just want to pray for Cobus before he goes. Also, sorry, you also run something called Bible GPS. It's a great program if you want to look it up. He also does monthly teachings. It's really good. I've had a chance. So Bible GPS on YouTube.
Yes.
Is there a Facebook as well?
Facebook, YouTube, website.
Awesome. So that's great. So let me pray for you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for my friend. We pray that you bless him, that your living word would speak through him, that you would bring our ears and our eyes to open us, and that you would breathe upon us. And we thank you. We ask you to bless him and fill him now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When I still used to live in Calgary, I didn't know Emery, but I saw his Facebook postings, then I realized he's a very courageous man for what he's posting on Facebook there. But he's even more courageous having me here this morning, so I want to thank Emery for having me here this morning. Every time when I come back from a trip from South Africa, you just realize how good we have it in Canada. And when you grow up in Canada, you get used to it. And then you don't appreciate it. Then you start to complain about the coffee that's not too hot at Tim Hortons. You start to complain about Western problems. But I think there's one thing that you don't also understand how good you have it. And that is what you have in your pastor here. I've listened to many other pastors, and Emery has a gift. And this is why I said the previous time that you need to invite more people to this congregation, because people come to faith by hearing. And you need to have the courage to invite people to church. That's why people don't come to church, because we don't invite them. And I promise you, Emery's message will touch the lives of people. So we cannot just here and become pew potatoes. We need to be out there and bring people. Today I'm going to share the message about a theme, let go and let God. Now, let go and let God is one of the most favorite Christian slogans. And the reason for that is when you hear let go, let God, it makes you feel good. It's a feel-good statement, let go and let God. But many people these days don't feel good anymore. You know, you just go to the gas station and you see the price of gas. You go to the grocery store, then you see the price of groceries. You hear many people complain about that and how that impact will have in the economy, that we will indeed start to pay more and more for things. So people are not very happy and feel good these days anymore. Even when you listen carefully to people, many people feel that they are stuck in a life. You know, people are stuck at a job. They don't know how to get out of there. Not always easy to get another job. Many people are stuck in a toxic relationship or a friendship. They don't know how to get out of that, how to deal with that. It can be family. It can be any toxic relationship. Maybe you are trapped in your finances. You don't know how to move forward with your finances. Maybe there's something that you wrestle deep in your heart. Maybe a little dirty sin that you're wrestling with that no one knows about, or a secret. But many people feel stuck. And when we are stuck and feel that life is overwhelming, it is very nice to hear the feel-good quotes and slogans like, let go and let God. But what does it mean to let go and to let God? Because there's no Bible verse that tells you let go and let God. There's no Bible verse. But there are many Bible verses that will actually speak to the truth of that quote and slogan, let go and let God. I'm just thinking of the passage we read in Isaiah 43. There's also Proverbs 3 verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. That is a let go Bible verse. But what does it mean to let go? It actually means to surrender. And the very first song we sang this morning, the chorus part was, I surrender. That is the key of Christianity, is to surrender. Now, there's a well-known American author, Marion Williamson. She said, the moment of surrender is not that life is over. It is just the beginning of life. The moment of surrender is not that life is over. It is just the beginning of life. What does that mean? And I think she's 100% right. Now, as I've said, there are many surrender Bible verses. Isaiah 43 that we read. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Psalm 46 verse 10 is another surrender verse. Just be still and know that I'm God. It's a beautiful surrender verse. Then you can go to the New Testament when Jesus said in John 16 verse 24, he says, if you want to become my disciples, you need to deny yourself. You need to lay down your life and take up the cross and follow me. That is a surrender verse. And we have another surrender verse of our reading this morning, Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2. It says that we need to lay down everything that holds us back. Because life is a race. Life is a journey. We need to lay everything behind us that holds us back. So there are many surrender verses in the Bible. It's key. If you want to experience life, you need to surrender. Now, Jesus' vision was very clear. Jesus understood the why he came to this world. Do you know John 10 verse 10? I have come to give you life. And not a boring life, but life in abundance. And the key to life in abundance is you need to surrender. There are two things we need to surrender as Christians. And the two things that we need to surrender are actually things in opposite directions. The first thing that you as a Christian need to surrender to experience the life in abundance, to become unstuck, to move forward, is that you need to surrender your past. Warren Wiersbe, who was an American theologian, well-known American theologian, he said, you cannot move forward in life when you constantly look in the rear view mirror. Then he continued and he said, the past is only a rudder that guides you and not an anchor that holds you. Then he ended his quote and said, you can learn from the past, but you don't live in the past. And he is so true. For many people, their past is not a rudder that guides them, but it's an anchor that holds them. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 says you need to throw that off. You need to move forward in life. So you cannot move forward if you are still stuck in your past. Now many people are still stuck in their past. Just listen careful to people. They will tell you of the shame of the past, of the regrets they have, of the guilt they have of the past. You know, people would say, you know, if I just could have been more kinder, why was I so stupid to say that? I was so dumb. I have hurt my family. If I can just turn back the clock. When we think like that about the shame, the guilt, the regrets, we are still have our anchor in the past. And psychologists will tell you, if your anchor is still in the past, this is when you will experience depression. Because depression has to do with the past. Therefore, you need to deal with the past. You need to let go of the past. And it is not so easy to let go of the past. Not so easy because there are regret, shame, and all those feelings of guilt. Painful experiences. So it's not that easy. But just listen many times how you speak to yourself. Just the other day, someone told me, about 3 days ago, I'm so stupid, I couldn't believe I fell for that scam. I'm a smart person, and I was scammed. I'm an idiot. Then I told the person, no, you're not an idiot, you just acted like one. Because your identity cannot be you an idiot. No, you made to the image of God, you just acted like one. You see, we can be so hard on ourselves. Where when you read the Bible, God is quick in doing what? To forgive. God is quick to forgive, slow to anger. And God is gracious and compassionate. But we are so hard on ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. And I really like that other song that we just sang. We are, broken? Gracefully broken. Look at your past and realize you are a broken human being. You will make mistakes. But don't dwell there. Don't be so hard on yourself. Give more grace to yourself. Because if you don't do that, you will suffer from depression. Because you will be living in the past. You just need to let go and say to God, God, thank you for your amazing grace. Help me to be gracious to myself as well. One day my counselor told me, you show so much grace to other people, but you don't show grace to yourself. Then she said, shame on you. Then it hit me so hard, and she was right. You know, we are so hard on ourselves. We are human beings. We will make mistakes. So you need to let go of the past. And then there's another thing that takes us into the other direction that you need to surrender, and that is the future. So when you surrender of the past, it deals with your depression. When you surrender of the future, it is the unknown. And so many people cannot live with the unknown. It makes them feel anxious. Anxiety has to do with the future. And so many people feel anxious about their life, their relationships, their finances, what is going to happen to this world, that we are so trapped by anxiety that we cannot live the life that God wants us to live. We need to let go of the future as well. Because if you cannot let go of the future, if you cannot surrender that the future belongs to God, you will experience anxiety. And that causes sleepless nights. And that has a ripple effect that you cannot really enjoy this life. So we need to surrender of the past because it deals with our depression. We need to surrender of the future because it deals with our anxiety. And how many people suffer from either anxiety and depression or both at the same time? But when you learn how to surrender the past and the future, it helps you to experience something beautiful, and that is to be in the present. God has made us to live in the present, to be in the present. Now, there's a nice quote. It says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it present. This is where God wants us, in the present. But if you anchor in the past, it's depression. When you focus on the unknown future and experience anxiety, you will not experience the present as a gift from God, because your mind is either in the past or in the future, and your heart is in turmoil. Then you cannot experience today as a real gift from God. Why is it so important to live in the present? My friend the other day, and he loves gardening, and he said to me, he took a picture of a beautiful flower, and it smelled so nice. But he said, my picture cannot capture the smell. It cannot. It just can capture the beauty. And when you are in the presence, in the present, you are able to use five gifts that God has given us. Do you know what those five gifts are? Our five senses. When you are in the present, you are able to hear, to see, to smell, to taste, and to touch. Your five senses you can never use in the future. You're not there. And you cannot use it in the past. You can only experience the amazing gift of our five senses now. That is why we need to be in the moment. How many people, you know, when they watch an important event, maybe your grandkids' events, you just want to capture everything. People capture the moment instead of being in the moment. We need to learn the gift, the skill to be in the moment. How many times have you caught yourself, someone is talking to you, but you have no clue what the person said? Because your mind was somewhere else. You were not in the moment. Because you were consumed either by a worry or maybe an appointment that stresses you out. You have a little bit of anxiety that you're not in the moment. Why do we need to be in the moment? Because God has given us the five senses to experience life in its fullest. And that can only happen in the presence. Now, the million-dollar question is, how is it possible to surrender the past and the future to be completely in the present, to experience God's presence, the beauty of everything with our five senses? I just want to give you four practical advices. The first thing I think we can do is to pray. Prayer is probably one of the best things to surrender. You know, even Jesus, when he was at a point of anxiety before the crucifixion, what did he do? He prayed. And he surrendered. God, my Father, not my will, but your will. It's a prayer of surrender. And there are so many other prayers that we can pray. You know, I'm just thinking of 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares. The most repeated command in the Bible is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because God knows that fear sells. And it takes you away from the present. So prayer is a very, very important thing. Just to surrender. Because in the old days they prayed like this. Hands open. It's a sign of I surrender. The second thing that you can do is a scripture. Read scripture. God's word. Because God's word is filled with promises that God is with you. I'm just thinking of Romans 8 verse 28. It says, maybe you are in a situation that's not nice. Then you can claim the promise of Romans 8 28. It says, God works everything for the good for those who love Him. Another way to put it, God can create something out of your nothing. God can turn a mess into a message. God can turn a trial into a triumph. Just trust Him for that. Claim those promises for you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, whole scripture is God breathed. It gives life. Scripture gives life. Scripture brings you into the presence of God. And if you're going through a tough time, probably one of the best books to read in the Bible is the book of Psalms. All the other books in the Bible talk about God, but when you read Psalms, you're talking with God. You're talking to God. It is very personal. So scripture is a brilliant way. A third thing that you can do is music. When I walked in this morning and I heard the music here, it just lifted my spirit. Because God has given us the gift of music. It's just imagine you go to any church in the world and there is music. God has brought forward musicians in every single church because music has a way to lift your spirit. When you read the book of Psalms, you know, there are places where the authors feel anxious. There are places where the authors feel depressed because they dwell in the past. But the end of the book of Psalms, the last five Psalms, ends with a doxology as a praise to God. The very last verse of Psalm 150 is, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Why does the Psalms end with a praise? It goes through turmoil, ups and downs. But why does it end with a praise? Because when you praise God, you are in adoration. And adoration is the antidote for anxiety. Praise is the antidote for panic. Worship is the antidote for worry. God doesn't need our praises, we need it. Because when we praise God, it deals with our anxiety. Then we can surrender to this beautiful God. When we worship God, it deals with our past. We are forgiven because of God's grace. We don't need to be so hard and tough and cruel on ourselves. We need to be more relaxed about our past. Just let it go. Let it go. It's not that easy. But pray, read scripture, listen to great music, or sing along. A fourth thing that you can do is you can exercise. Very practical. Go for a walk, go for a run, do anything but just exercise. Keep moving because it's good for your body. It releases hormones that will help with anxiety and with your depression. I want to conclude. An American author, Sonia, I think Coyote is her last name. She's a motivational speaker. She said, surrender to what is. Let go of what was. Have faith in what will be. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for Your amazing love and for Your amazing grace that we can surrender. Surrender doesn't mean that life is over. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey where we deal with our past and then we deal with the future so that we can be in the present. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us senses to be in touch to listen, to smell, to feel. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in the moment because we surrender. We trust you. Help us, Lord, not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust you with all our heart. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.